faith. Faith is what moves God. Well, let me say, does faith move God? Or is faith what causes God's word to work? Faith, your faith that you have in the word of God, causes that word to work for you. Okay? So ye have little faith, it won't do much for you. Ye have large faith, great faith, man, you're moving mountains. Okay? And we want to exercise our faith. How do we exercise our faith? By following the word of God. Okay? I mean, it's just awesome when you hear the word of God and you take it to heart and you follow it. And you say, well, it really worked. Well, I didn't know that. And anything he tells you to do, you do it. If he tells you not to do something, then you don't do it. And man, you say, oh, wow, overcome it. Okay, maybe it's something you do every day. Man, oh, I know I ain't supposed to be doing this, but I just got to do it. I just got to do it. Man, say, Lord, you said with God, all things are possible. Amen? Woo. But by the strength of the Lord, I can do all things. I can accomplish all things. The Lord, help me today. I just call upon the name of the Lord. I just give this to you today. You know, I'm going to walk away from it. I'm done with it. Draw that line right then. Amen? If having his faith in his word. And what happens? Man, you get stronger. You believe in God's word more and more. I mean, we all right now believe that God's word is true. Okay? It's believing it's true, and then following it is two different things. Okay? And it's like your faith is the gunpowder, if I can say it that way, that makes it to work and go farther. You know, there's a thing out there, I don't know if you guys hunt much, shoot much, but there's an ammunition called a little 22. And it's about like that. You can't see it, it's about half an inch, quarter inch maybe. And then there's a little casing behind that got gunpowder on it. Okay? And you fire it, it might travel a mile and a half. Then you take about the same head and put it on a 222, which is the same type of bullet, but now it's behind a cartridge like that, a lot of powder. And it'll go a lot farther, a lot more knockdown. Okay? And that's the difference in our faith. The more faith you have, the longer farther you can go in God and more things that you can do that God called you to do. When you read something and God says to do it and you say, I can't do that, you can.
Amen.
Understand, you can do that. And He wants to build in us a desire to do what He says to do and trust in Him. You know, it's kind of hard to trust someone if you don't know that they really care for you, right? And God, when I say that God truly loves you, the more we understand how much He really loves us, the more faith you can put in His Word. Because you know He wants no harm for you. Do you understand that? Amen? Hi, Opal. Glad you made it back this morning. We're going to look at a fellow this morning who had some faith. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to jump over to Matthew chapter 8. In verse 5, I want to start with, and we'll see a gentleman's faith. He says, and when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking him, otherwise a soldier came to him, was asking him this, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. So Jesus said, okay, great pain, you come get me. I'm the great physician, I'll go to your place. Now heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man in the authority with soldiers under me. Now I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and recline at the table of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But to the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness, in that place where there are weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, let it be done to you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very hour. Amen. I mean, sometimes we need Jesus to be there in person to have faith. You know that? We say, well, man, if Jesus showed up like he did to them guys, man, I have faith. Okay? And it's easy to have faith when you see something, but then it's not really faith, is it? I don't need faith the day that Vicky be here. You're here. Okay? I know that. Okay? Faith is believing in what God said when it's not even there yet. And so he said, listen, I don't need to go to your house. Man, that faith, he's healed. Go your way. What caused that? The guy's faith. Somewhere along the line, he heard about Jesus, Buck. He heard about what he's been doing. He had faith in him. Man, he said, I'll just go get a hold of the master. I'll just tell him what's going on. And right there, he can heal my servant, raise him back up again. And the same God that he's serving back then is who we serve today. Going to have faith in that word. You know, the first thing we need to know is that God loves us, he cares for us. He sent Christ to die for our sins and to heal us. We have to understand that, number one. And this guy did. He knew that God only wanted the best for him. He knew that if he would go to him and follow his petition, that Christ would heal his servant. He does the same for us today as we go to him in faith. But how do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing the word of God, and not just hearing it, but knowing that what he's done for one, he'll do for another in the same circumstances. If you're born again, if you're sitting here today and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then everything that we speak of in the Bible is yours, available to you as you build your faith. So the question goes back to how bad do we want it? How bad do we really want it? This guy wanted it so bad that he was willing to walk a great distance to go to Jesus. And look what happened. Because that guy's faith, his friend, his servant's healed. Now, he could have said, well, I'll just wait till the master. He's out running around. Someday he'll pass through our little village here. And when he does, you hang in there. You hang in there. Jesus will be coming for long. And when he does, you can reach out and touch him. And we've heard it before. And he'll heal you. Just hang in there. Just stay in there for a while. It might be a week, two. It might be 2 months. But, you know, but he's coming through. He's going everywhere. Okay? But he said, no, I'm not going to wait for that. I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm going to take my friend to Jesus, my servant, the one who takes care of me. I'm going to Jesus myself in his behalf. And because of his faith, the servant was healed. Now, it doesn't say the servant had any faith at all in Jesus. Amen? He might have been worshiping Buddha. I don't have any idea. But it wasn't his faith. It was a centurion's faith. Right. That when he went to Christ, activated that word. Who is Jesus? He is a living word of God. Amen? So when we say the word of God, we're talking about Christ. When he came upon the earth, he is the word of God manifested in human being. So what he said in the Old Testament, Christ is walking it out in the New Testament. Okay? So when we say faith motivates the word of God, that faith the centurion had in Christ, which is the word, the living word of God, motivated that word to work properly. How about he went up to him and said, hey, you know, I'm not sure you can do this or not, but you know, I get this dude back here a couple miles back and he's not feeling very good. If it's possible, I mean, if he can, I don't know if he can or not. It's not going to happen. What's that, Buck?
Not much faith.
Not much faith, yeah. So it's faith that motivates God's word, not God. God never changes, but he's giving you his word. And as you place faith in him, as that faith grows and you speak it out in confidence, that causes mighty things to take place. And look what this guy did there. You don't need to come to my place. I'll go on behalf. Now, no doubt when he went back and that guy was sitting there drinking his coffee, okay, I'm going to tell you what I did for you. Maybe that fella, when he was, say he was paralyzed, maybe he couldn't hear. Maybe he had no idea that this guy went before Jesus to intercede for healing in his body. Maybe he had no idea. So what did he do? He goes back. Say, listen, I went to Jesus. I took your problem to Christ yesterday. And when I did that, I said to heal you. And he raised you up. That's the reason why you're sitting up today. That's why you're recovering today. Because I took you to Jesus and he touched you. Amen?
Amen.
See how important that is? Because then two things will take place. Either that guy or that person's faith will start growing. So, wow, you did that for me? Yeah, about 2 o'clock I was in prayer. Man, it was about 2 o'clock that I started feeling better. I get up out of bed. Wow, praise God. They say, oh, fantastic, thank you. And hallelujah, God gets the glory. Or they say, oh, okay, thank you. Because, you know, it's my doctors that did it. It can go either way. But the thing of it is, when you are Christ upon the earth here, you intercede for people, you are to tell them that. Amen?
Amen?
Don't let somebody else steal God's glory. Okay? When you say, oh, Lord, touch him this morning. And I tell you what, the doctor comes into your room and says, you know what? I never thought of this. I never tried this. Oh, wow, it's been here all the time. Boom. Give God the glory. Amen?
Amen.
But to share that. And then some people will reject it. You know, but the Master says this. Go. And sin no more before something worse happens to you. Amen? So we need to share that also. And you say, well, I'm going in there and talk to somebody. I prayed for them, interceded for them. They're feeling better. And say, listen, I prayed for you. God touched you. But, you know, man, God loves you. You need to come to Him. You know, otherwise, something worse might happen to you. You saying something's going to happen to me because I'm sinning? No, I'm not saying that. God is. Amen? And if we don't know that, we'll step right back into it. If you're walking around in the dark and a dog bites you and you get out of the pen and next day you walk into the same pen and get bit in the dark, you're not going to know what that dog looks like, do you? No, not until the light turns on. When the light is on during the daylight hours, you can see what's biting you. It's the same way with the Word of God. Same thing as sin in our life. A sin is biting people left and right time and time again. They don't understand what's going on in their life. Everybody's doing this. And people are falling. People are getting sick. People are dying. People are losing the eternal life of God because they're doing the same thing over and over again and they haven't quite figured it out yet. And many of us have been there before. You know, we've done things before. We thought, well, it'll be different this next time. Right, Bob? You got the t-shirt and the hat, don't you? Yep, been there. Do the same thing over again, but it'll be different this time. And it's not. Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all it is. He'll purdy it up. He'll make it look nicer, make it smell prettier, make it look better. Give you different thoughts. All will be different this time. You can do better things. You won't fall in temptation this time. And what happens? Right back down again. But God wants you to know that He cares and loves you so much. And just as He did for this guy here. Just as He did for this fellow here and restored his health because someone interceded for him. He did that for God to be glorified. You know, for His Father in heaven. And look what He's done. And folks, I tell you, don't be afraid of the Word of God. Don't be afraid of speaking the Word of God. Don't be afraid for interceding for people. Don't be afraid of, as your faith grows. I mean, He just did that. Don't be afraid to pray for one another. Let me pray for you. Whatever the circumstances, it don't have to be a health issue. It can be anything. Let me pray. Let's just intercede together right now. And then as you're praying for people, let the Word of God guide you. You know, people come to you and say, I don't feel good. I'm sick. Well, God's a healer, Joe, ain't He? He brought you back up, brought me back up. And we know that He's a healer. Amen? You can testify that. People got financial problems. Then let me pray with you, okay? Let me share what the Word of God says about financial issues. Okay, boom. Mental issues. You have problem? Well, He says, let's renew our mind in Christ. Let's get back in the Word more and more and hear that Word of God. All that is available in the Bible. You know that? Everything that ails you, there's a medicine in the Bible for that. It's called the Word of God and having faith in it and learning from it. If you go out in the weather all the time when it's raining and you get wet and catch a cold, every time, let's say you do that, what are you going to do next time it's raining? You going to go back outside or you going to stay inside? Well, chances are, if it's warm out, we'll go back outside maybe. But we're going to get cold. And we're going to get... So if you're doing the same thing and you're getting the same results, quit doing them, right?
Amen.
Amen? Quit, just draw that line and say, man, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to do it anymore. And you can. You can with the help of God. And you call upon the name of the Lord. As a born-again Christian, you call upon the name of the Lord. God, give me strength today. And you know what? A lot of times that strength He'll give you is to do this. Turn away from it. Seriously. That's how easy it is. Turn away from it. Then, Lord, okay, give me strength not to fall back in temptation. And say, okay, stay out of there. Okay, don't go there. Oh, don't buy that. Okay, how bad do you really want? He's saying, amen? Okay, so it's very simple. To quit something today, and we've said it before, if you got an addiction, you can quit it right now. Don't tell me it's too hard to quit. You just lay it down. The hard part is not picking it back up again. Amen? And that's when you call upon the name of the Lord. God, I got that desire right now. You know I want that. I need it. But God, I want You. I decided to follow You, Lord. I know Your word is true. So God, help me just take away this urge today. Woo, Jesus, I love You. Oh, God, thank You for saving me. Thank You, I'm not headed to hell anymore. I know You got better plans for me, Lord. Ooh, I don't want this thing anymore. That's a device Satan using trying to take me out. He's trying to kill me early. God, I know You know the number of days You have planned for me. Amen? You know? He says in Jeremiah 29:11, I said, I know the plans I have for you, brother. Not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you your welfare, me taking care of you. That's His plans for you, every one of us. But we mess them up because we allow things come into our life that shorten our lifespan. Amen? That's very simple. You know, anybody see me jogging yesterday? No. You should. Oh, one time they had a free donut sale going on and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But God has a plan for my life. He has a number of days listed for me. Okay? He does. Huh? Oh, go ahead.
Did you see me ride my three-wheeler in today?
No, I did not. But He has a plan.
Plan to do it.
Well, you're welcome. Ride it in. You got a motor on it?
No.
Nah, I don't want to borrow it then. Okay. But see, I can cut those days short. But not being healthy. Amen? I mean, I can. I mean, okay, God said, follow me. Boom, boom. I can shorten them days from not being obedient. See, this is... Everybody got a body? This is a temple of God.
Amen.
A temple of God. And we need to do the best we can to keep it the best temple that we can. Amen? Now, I know you get older. It's like an old house. The shingles might start sagging a little bit. You know what I'm saying? The floors might creak a little bit. But we still... We still got the temple of the Lord and the Holy Spirit still residing in us, okay? So you're sitting here today, you got a couple of years on you, and your shingles are sagging. You're still doing awesome. You know, this is going to take place once in a while, amen? It is. But this is the temple of God, and we need to have it prepared and do what He's called us to do. We got different seasons that we go through, amen? So just be encouraged with that. But He says, go and it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very, very moment. So as you have believed, man, you just know. You just know, man, I just go to the Lord right now, tonight, and I take my loved one to Him, and I keep interceding for them, man, they're going to be set free. Going to be set free. They will no longer be in bondage as I continue to pray for them, intercede for them. Now, there's a couple different types of prayers. One, the intercession. If I'm praying for you, if I'm praying for you for strength, for wisdom, for guidance, continue. Oh, Lord, I just lift up Kathy this morning. God, I just give her wisdom today, Father, what to cook Joe for dinner, you know, or something of that nature. I can do that daily. That's one. And that's not a repetitive prayer saying, Oh, Lord. No, I'm interceding for you daily. Okay. The other prayer saying, you know, by His stripes I am healed. And God, I confess that today. And I am healed in the name of Jesus. And so tomorrow morning, God, I want to thank You for my healing. My mind has to be set on that. Thank You for my healing, Lord. I know what the doctor just told me, but, you know, thank You for the healing. You know, Lord, when You put the disciples in that boat and told them to go on the other side, they hit a storm, didn't they? But they still gone on the other side, didn't they, Lord? Were You still with them in the boat? Didn't they make it over there? Well, Lord, I got healing in my body. I know that. I might be going through a storm right now, but I ain't going to get sunk for the boat. By Your stripes, I am healed, Lord. I mean, Lord, I just praise You. And that's not just saying the word, just having faith in that. Amen? I mean, and that's so important right here. To build your faith in the Word of God. If He said it, I believe it. And folks, that's where you go back to meditating on the Word of God. Meditating. And I don't mean, meditating. Oh, Lord, what do you mean? What do you mean you sent your Word and healed them? Think of that. I sent my Word to heal them. Again, who's the Word? Jesus is the living Word. So you get the spoken Word and you get the living Word. God, you sent your Word to heal me. Wow. And your Word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. They even separate the spirit and the soul and the bone and the marrow. So that spoken Word will penetrate my body. Ooh, cancer. Can I curse you, cancer, in the name of Jesus?
Amen.
He took that curse on the cross. He says, curse of him who hangs on the cross. Healing to my DNA. You listen to me, bones. You listen to me, marrow, cells. I got the DNA of Christ in me. You're trespassing. This is the temple of God. Christ lives in here. Oh, I give you no place in my body. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Sent His Word and healed me. I speak that to me. Then also He says, I sent my Word to heal them. And we go back to what I said earlier. Go and sin no more. See that? Go. And sin can bring so many things into our life. We open the door up for all kinds of things to come into our life. Okay? So, maybe this is a repeat in this, I don't know, but what causes you to sin? Don't tell me. Oh, generic, go ahead. Lack of faith can be lack of love, I want to say. He says, well, don't give the devil all the credit, man. Okay? He can give you a little seed in your head.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And you can sin forever.
There's arrows at you all the time.
Ain't no arrow. Okay? You were born of sin nature, okay? So all he does is keep thinking about that, okay? He said, Jesus, if you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. I will abide in you, and you abide in me, if you love me. Woo! Come on now. I'll ask you right now, if I went home today and took three women with me, my wife, what's going to happen? All right, you say what's going to happen, okay? Okay? If I love her, she's my wife. I'll protect her. I'll watch over her. I'll do nothing to harm her. I'll do nothing to take away from her. Do you love me? Jesus says. You keep my commandments is what He says. You'll keep them if you love Him. Amen. Men can be tempted. Women can be tempted. Lust. Women. All that stuff can be tempting to people. But if you love me, you cast down them thoughts. If you love me, Jesus says, you keep my commandments. Cast down them sins. If you love Him, and folks, do you love Him? That's what you got to look at. Do you truly love Him? And then thoughts will cast down quicker than you shake a stick at. When you say, oh, Satan got me today, He didn't get you. Your love for Christ went weak today. Do you love me? Now, my missus, if I mess up as a husband, I go to her, she'll forgive me. Amen? That's part of being married. Christ is the same way. You mess up, you go to Him, He'll forgive you. But you keep doing the same thing over and over, we got a problem. He'll say, do you love me? Do you love me? You'll keep my command. My command is to keep you safe. His commandment is for us, not for Him. Because He knows how detrimental sin is in our lives. Sin will take you out way before He's ready to take you to heaven. Right. Understand that. These aren't some, oh boy, he's a mean daddy. I can't do this or that. No. He loves you so much. He's a strict father. Amen? He has to be. Because you know how detrimental the enemy is. He wants to take you out. How easy to fall back where you came from. No different than you as a parent. You might have been a strict parent. You didn't do that because you hated your kids. You did it because you love your kids. Because the enemy out there wanted to take them out. And they need to say, this is the rules. This is the law of my house. This is my house. You live in my house? Eat my food? This is my rules. Because I care for you. I love you. But if you want the things of the world, go. And God the same way. Do you love me? If you do, keep my commands. Follow me. I'll strengthen you. But if you want the ways of the world, He said, go. If you want to live a harlot, go. If you want to eat the things of the world, go to hell. If you don't love me after what I've done for you, I cannot show you my love any more than dying on the cross for you. If that's not enough for you, there's nothing else I can do, is what He's saying.
Right.
Oh my, I mean, my wife a lot of times say, well, sir, do you love me? I'll say, well, I married you, didn't I? That doesn't go over too well after 40 years. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But when Jesus, He said, God, do you love me? Do you care for me, God? And He said, man, I died for you, didn't I? There's nothing more that He can do. He paid the penalty for your sins. And He's here to strengthen you to overcome them. But do you really love Him? Have you really accepted Him into your life as your Savior and Lord? Are you truly following Him? Are you allowing His Word to take His place in your life? Are you meditating on His Word? Are you thinking about that? You know, amen. If you're saying yes, you're growing, guys. You're growing. But if you love me, He says, you'll keep my commands. What all did Jesus tell you to do?
Love the Lord God with all the heart of mind, mind, and soul.
God number one.
And love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor. Then He gave us another one saying to love one another.
Yeah.
Okay. So in order to keep His command, do what He wants you to do, you got to know the Word of God, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Now we go back to the Old Testament, we've got the Ten Commandments. Anybody hear about the Ten Commandments?
Uh-huh.
Well, there are really 613 of them, I believe. He just gave us 10 of us to show us that we can't keep them without Him. Amen. We need the Lord for that sin nature. Those Ten Commandments, I think I broke every one of them. That's part of our sin nature. I can't overcome that without the Spirit of God living in me. You know, when the spirit of Satan is in you, you say, well, I don't have the spirit of Satan. Listen, if you're not born again, your spirit is dead. Understand me? Understand that. Okay, you have no connection with God. So you've been controlled by the same thing that Satan is. You need to be born again, that when that Spirit of God comes into you, now He'll give you the strength to overcome these temptations. He'll give you the strength to hear His Word, understand His Word. If you love me, He says. And I pray that you do. I pray. You know, a lot of times we'll say, oh, Satan's really tempting me today. Yeah, I don't think, you know, it's not really him tempting you as much as you're tempting yourself. I think what happens a lot of times is that you're not staying in the Word enough. You're not praying enough. I'll ask you this. I'm trying to think of somebody. What's a modern... Who's the new sex symbol girl?
Beyonce.
Beyonce. Okay, Beyonce. Okay. Everybody know who Beyonce is?
Uh-huh.
Okay, or Lauren McCall? Anybody remember her?
That was in the 40s.
We just watched a movie the other day. Okay, Key Largo. But anyway, I'm actually this. Let's think of this a second. When we're saying about, boy, Satan's really tempting me today. He's really tempting me today. If, what's her name, Beyonce would walk through here, or Lauren McCall, or whoever we got. Marilyn Monroe. Okay. They watching it right now wearing a string bikini. I know, ladies, you can't relate to this. But men, when we look at him, oh my lands. Woo. Boy, Satan really tempted me today, ain't he? Now, if something that minute can tempt me to fall in lust and forget my wife, something wrong, right? After 40 years? Seriously, come on. Satan ain't tempting me. My own eyeballs. My own lust. That old man that was buried at the cross, you can resurrect it pretty quick. Amen? You can. Now, guys or ladies, it might be Humphrey Bogart, Tom Cruise,
Elvis Presley.
Yeah. Okay, same way. Okay. Oh, man. Now, it'd be one thing, I'll give you this, to be sitting in church and have them walk through here, dressed like that, men. Or ladies, Elvis Presley can walk in, throwing his hips around. You might say, just maybe, Satan's trying to tempt you if they walk through in a string bikini, okay? Just maybe, okay? Wow, how they get in here? He's trying to disrupt the service, that kind of stuff. But go down to the local bar establishment, and they're having bikini night or Tom Cruise night, and you walk in. He's not tempting you in there yourself. We're in there for that lustful feeling. Okay, so we can't give him the credit. And so we got to take these thoughts and cast them down. I have nothing to do with them. I pledge my allegiance to my wife. My love, but my allegiance. She's my wife. Does that mean anything to people anymore? When you give your word, does it mean anything to you? And does it mean anything to the people you give it to? I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking that. If it means something, then when you say, God, I give you my life. Jesus, I accept the penalty that you paid for my sins. Come into my life. I'll follow you. I will follow you. I'll tell people about you, Lord. When you make that covenant with them, if it's true, man, that casts down them thoughts that comes into your head. Amen? It does. You know, you look and say, nah, I ain't looking at that. Here comes twins next time, you know. I ain't looking at that. Triplets, I'm not looking at that, you know. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, okay? But it's being honest with yourself and taking your own credit at times for your own sin life. Okay, the more you walk with the Master, and the more you digest that word, it's less and less that you can be tempted with. If you've been a Christian for 20 years, you're still being tempted by the same things that you repented from. The problem in your relationship with the Lord, we need to do something with that. Hear me? So you're doing it's like you're saying, if you're going down the same road for 20 years, you haven't got there yet, you're probably on the wrong road. You know what I'm saying? In the same way. Just by calling upon the name of the Lord. Yes, if you're sincere in heart, it starts a relationship. But then you have to build that relationship through His Word. You got to want that. You got to have that desire. I mean, Buck, how long have you been married, Buck?
31 years.
Oh, I shouldn't put you on the spot like that. He had a smile on his face. Well, let's say 31 years ago, you said, yes, and I love, honor, obey, and cherish you the rest of my life. Boom. And she hasn't seen you in 31 years. I mean,
not much of a marriage.
Well, not much. But what kind of relationship would you guys have? I mean, you had never grown to get to know her. You never understand what really pleases her, you know, and back and forth, you know. You don't have a relationship. Now, you can walk around and tell people, hey, I'm married. I got married 31 years ago. Oh, wow.
Haven't seen her since.
Haven't seen her since. Best marriage you ever had. No, no.
Here's your butt sticker.
But see, if you never come together, never visit one, they'll never share it, you never grow. Now, you might say you're married, but truthfully, if you go by the description of the Bible, married, you're not married. You remember what God says. Why we get married in the first place, number one, is it's not good for a man to be alone. That's the number one. I came before reproducing, guys. Okay? So if you get your priorities backwards and your eyes always on the reproducing part of it, you're missing what God had intended. It's not good for a man to be alone. And folks, lonely, that lasts for a lifetime. The reproducing part only for a short time. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's where the part of Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve comes in.
Right, amen. Amen. But it's not, it's being in fellowship with your spouse. And God, the same way, He looks at you as His bride. And when you accepted Him as your Savior and Lord, man, He is our groom, and the church is His bride. And in order for that to be a flourishing relationship, we need to stay constantly in connection with the Master. And you learn more and more about Him and how awesome He is. And yes, you learn about all the stuff He's done for you, do for you. But that's just secondary compared to what He is in your life. And you just dwell on it. Just think of that. He sent His Word to heal me. Heal my relationship with God, number one. If we're here today, not born again, we don't have a relationship with God. We're not His children. John 1:10 says, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall become children of God. Wow. You're His creation. He cares for you. But to put faith in His Word, you got to believe that He truly, truly loves you. Amen? Take Abraham. Anybody hear of Abraham in the Bible?
Yeah.
Man of great faith. His name used to be Abram. Abram. But then God said that He's going to be a father of many nations. He changed His name to Abraham. Because that's what Abraham means. Right, scholar?
Yes.
Yes. So he went from being Abram. One day he's Abram. Oh, who are you? Or I want to introduce you to my friend Abram. Oh, hi Abram, how are you doing? Okay. The next day, the same person walks up. Hey, I got a new friend. Hey, I want to meet my friend Abram. He said, no. My name isn't Abram anymore. It's Abraham. God has changed it. My name is Abraham. So what he's saying is, I am a father of many nations. I'm the father. What? Yes. Now, yesterday he was Abram. Now he's calling himself Abraham. What kind of weirdo is it? Why did he change his name? I didn't change my name. God changed it. You know that Sarah and Abraham had no children. And he was walking around calling himself father of many nations. Saying, hey, I'm gonna start my seed. It's going to populate the whole world. And he didn't have a kid. And he kept saying that. I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. Oh, building his faith up. I'm Abraham. God said, my name is Abraham. He had faith in that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he probably got chuckled at once in a while, but he said, wait, am I going to worry what you say about me? Or what God? And God calls me Abraham, father of many nations. You'll have a son. You'll have a son. Now, he gets to be 75 years old. No kid. Wow, he's getting ready for the old factory's going to shut down. But he still continued to say, listen, I am Abraham. I am Abraham. Because he had a word from God. He was told by God that he will have a son, that he will be a father of many nations, that he will populate the Jewish people. He believed in that. In order to believe that, I truly believe every day he said, I am Abraham. I am Abraham, declaring the promises of God. I am Abraham. And when people start laughing, I say, sure, you're a father of many kids. If I can paraphrase it. Yeah, where's your kids at? Well, I'm not a father yet. But I am going to be a father because God says I am. I don't know, Joe. I think they're kind of wacky. They're 80 years old and so they're going to have a kid. Yeah, right, right, right. You must not have heard from God right. You know, something must have heard the wrong thing. I am Abraham. Continued on. I am Abraham. And then what happened one day? Boom. They had a baby. Sarah did. That's a little... 99 years old and 100 had a baby. Impossible. It had to take an act of God to do that. Amen. So, Opal, don't get rid of your diapers and stuff you have for your kids. Your bottles, you might need them. But you see what he had? He believed it. And what he did, he repeated it every day. I am Abraham. I am Abraham. Build his faith up. Build his faith up. And you know what happened then after the baby was born and he grew up? When he's probably about 17 years old, 18 years old. I think his name was Isaac, if I'm not mistaken. You know what God told him to do? He said, sacrifice your son. Here it is, this son that he wanted all his life. And God promised him, I'll give you a son, that you'll be a father of many nations. Your offspring will be more than the sand in the sea. And here he is, 18 years old, 17, 18 years old. And God said, okay, I want you to take your son up to the mountain and sacrifice him. What do you think? God told him to kill his son. And what did Abraham do? Abraham, hold this son that he wanted, watched him, taught him everything he knew. He gathered up some firewood, got his son, and told him to go up the mountain. We're going to want to sacrifice to the Lord. Offer him up. And went up the mountain. And at the foot of the mountain, he left his one helper. So where are you going to go? He says, well, me and my son, we'll go on top of the mountain. We're going to do sacrifice to God. But then we will be back.
Right.
Think of that. Only two going up there. Him and his son. I'm going to do a sacrifice to God, but we will be back. Look at his faith. He's being obedient to God. That's faith. That's what faith builds, obedient to God. God told him, going back 18 years earlier, or really 35 years earlier, that you will be a father of many nations. Otherwise, your kids are going to reproduce and reproduce and reproduce on down the line. You're Abraham. So he figured out, if God said it, it's going to be true. Went up there and he took his boy, tied his hands together, built the altar, had wood underneath of it, brought his knife up, just get ready to sacrifice his son, because Abraham knew the promise of God. And he knew that if God says to take his life, that God would bring that life back up again. Amen? Yes. And just when he's getting ready to sacrifice his son, God stayed his arm. So don't, Abraham. I see now that you're truly a man who loves me, who committed to me. And then he heard a bah! And around the corner was a ram. He untied his son, laid the ram on the altar, and sacrificed to God. Now, let me say this before everybody goes off in left field. God does not do that anymore. God will never tell you to sacrifice your son, your daughter. He'll never tell you to strap your wife down, your husband down, and kill him, or your grandkid. Listen, there's been the last sacrifice we ever need. His name is Jesus Christ, and he died on that cross for our sins. There's no more sacrifices take place. And what Abraham did was the same thing that God did. That was a replica of what God was going to do 2,000 years later. Take his son and sacrifice him for the sins of the nation. But that's how much faith that Abraham had in God. Knowing, okay, he told me my kid's going to multiply. He told me to kill him. Okay, I'll sacrifice him to you. But he knew that if he did, that God can raise him back up again. He's being obedient, even to death. And that's where we need to be in our faith. To be obedient, to want that. He gives up every day and say, I am Abraham. I am Abraham. Build that into the spirit. What does God say about you? Can you think of something? What's a promise that you're hanging on that's dear to you that you profess? Mine is, for you and your household shall be saved.
Amen.
Woo! Might not see it today. Might not see it tomorrow. But I profess it. Me and my household shall be saved. That my children are an inheritance of mine. And God won't give me no bad inheritance. Professor, speaking that word, staying on that word. So where are you at? Do you have that word from God? Do you have that promise? They just think, oh, I don't see how it's going to happen, but I know God's word is true. Now, understand this. Abraham didn't just wake up one morning, 99 years old, with a son, and God says, okay, go kill your son. Understand this. He didn't wake up. No, hey, good morning. Abraham, my name is God. Take your son out today and kill him for me, will you?
No.
He didn't do that. Abraham took years and 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 years following God. Being faithful in the little things. Amen?
Right.
The little things. Building his faith. Building his faith to the point where God told him to do something, he had no problem, he could do it. With us today. Your faith, exercise your faith, get that Word of God. Start believing the Word of God, start confessing the Word of God. Don't try to move a mountain yet if you haven't moved a pebble. But start with the pebble, amen? Let it move. Then more. God said that we were heirs to the throne. Co-heirs of Christ. If you're born again, you're a child of God. You are a son or a daughter of God. Not the son of God. Don't get Satan played in your head. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are somebody. You are the head and not the tail. Amen. Understand that. He has plans for you that, man, it'd blow your mind away. Amen. Think of that. There's nothing in your life you can't overcome with Jesus. Amen. Submit it to God. Man, He has so much desire and love for you. Then also so many plans for you to use you with. And many of you are doing it now. You come to church this morning, you heard the Word of God. Did you witness anybody this morning? Yeah. Somebody saw you leaving your driveway today. And somebody might have seen you run in with your Bible in hand, get a cup of coffee for me, come to church. You're giving a witness to people something was important in your life today. But have faith in the Word. And learn, again, go back to Abraham. Profess, everyone, my name is Abraham. My name is Abraham. Well, hi. My name is Starkey. Oh, Starkey, I heard you're sick. Yes, but I'm healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. He sent His Word to heal me. I have faith in that.